Hey, this is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez from The Real Ass Podcast. Thanks for listening, but did you know that we do the show live every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch live, join the chat room, have access to the video version of the show, and access hundreds of hours of archives if you sign up for membership at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP when you check out, and you'll save $1 on monthly network membership. We got a bunch of great shows on the network, including Legion of Skanks, The Just the Show, High Society Radio, SDR Show, and the brand new Tim Dillon Is Going to Hell. Once again, that's gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code RAP when you check out. And best of all, you don't have to listen to this commercial.
This is The Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Yo, 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 what is up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez. Real Ass Podcast, we're back, motherfuckers. When I say we, it's not we. It's just me, because we're doing another Real Ass Podcast exclusive. Shannon, I need you to get some sort of sound effects board because I'm a hack and I like explosions. I like a lot of fucking like siren-y sound effects. I think I need more than just my own vocal abilities. I'm not offering enough. When I imagine this show, what I feel like this is a monster truck rally, and then we kind of come in and we're just dudes talking. There should be more.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks, Shannon. So, welcome to the show. Here's the deal, man. We got a great show planned today. Guest on the show, and I believe he's already there. Am I right?
Yeah.
Very excited. Mike David of Red Bar Radio is on the show, guys.
Good morning, Louise.
What's going on, Mike? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. This is a morning show for me.
Is this a morning show? Are you in a different time zone?
I'm in a different time zone. This is 11 a.m., but that's okay, you know? So it's early for me, but I love that, you know, not complaining, just, you know.
Let me ask you a question, because this is, I did Jim and Sam yesterday, and I don't really broadcast that early, right? Usually, this is the earliest I go, is 12 noon, and what I noticed was I was in a great mood as I went on the show, and it was because life hadn't beaten me down yet. I hadn't gotten to, you know, the 5, 6, 7 p.m. point where I want to kill myself.
Sure.
9 a.m., I'm like, fucking boom, let's go. The day is young.
Energy, you're walking to the studio, you're going into the lobby there. There's hustle and bustle, there's people moving, and that vibe probably wakes you up too.
There's an energy in the morning that I love. So I almost want to turn this show into a morning show. If we had 10,000 more listeners an episode, I think I would turn this into a three-day-a-week, Monday through Wednesday morning show. Shannon, don't fucking laugh at me.
No, it's true. If you have that morning New York walk, that's fine. I got to walk, for, you know, 6 feet from my bedroom over here.
I'll tell you right now, I do respect your setup so much. And the Real Ass Podcast exclusive. Yes, it's an acronym rape. We know that, guys. People hit me up all the time. Like, do you know? I was like, yeah, dude. Why do you think I fucking chose that? Okay. What we do on the exclusives is we interview somebody that I have respect for. Somebody that I think does what they do very well. And we've done them with Kumia. We did it with Big J, Nate Bargatze. And that's why I have you on the show. So I want you to know it is a compliment. Just to even do this, before we even get into the show, I want you to know I don't just do these with anybody. I've only done a handful of them, and I do respect what you do, and I do respect what you've built over there.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know this was an interview. I was actually saving that portion of my life for Mark Maron or something. You know, I've got to spill it here. I guess we'll send Mark the tapes.
Yeah. What we're going to do here is we're going to do an interview portion of the show. We're going to get into some other segments later on the show as well. Lots of stuff happening always in the news. You guys will also notice I'm wearing a black pussy hat. Now, that is not my favorite brand of pussy. This is actually a band they did the SDR show and they left this here and I've never heard their music. So later on in the show, Mike, I know you're a big music fan. I've listened to your show before. I know you guys do like a lot of like music reviews and you listen to fucking music on the show. I want to review this band with you later on the show.
That's a band? I thought that was Bill Burr's wife's merch.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Morning, everybody.
Mike from Red Bar Radio. Not afraid of burning bridges, and I think that's why people do love you. This is why you get a lot of fans. But, you know, I think that the you kind of create a ceiling for yourself sometimes when you do these things. You know, here's the thing. You're your own boss, and that's what that's honestly the reason why I have so much respect for you. When I was starting this network with Ralph Sutton, very few people know this. I called you. I remember I was in Los Angeles, California, walking around. I called you to be like, hey, dude, I need some advice. We're building out this network. I see what you've built with Red Bar Radio, and I would just like a little bit of advice and maybe some insight as to what you've done to build it. And you did teach me a lot in that phone call. Just talk to me a little bit about building out Red Bar Radio and kind of being behind the scenes, because people know you as being an entertainer, but I don't think they realize, like, I have a beautiful producer right here. You're doing everything for the most part by yourself.
Yeah, well, you know what? It was I've gone through every different version of how to do one of these. And when you first start doing them, you want to be all professional, and it's all about, you know, when we first started doing this, there was no podcasting. So and we were like 21. Okay, 2003. And the whole idea was it wasn't about saying anything. It was more about like, ooh, we're talking into mics. This sounds cool. You know, it's like radio.
Yeah. It's like playing house.
Yeah. We were more interested in like emulating radio. And it was more about like equipment and setting everything up. And, you know, over the years, yeah, we tried it with, let's get an assistant. Let's get an intern. Let's get a producer. All of that stuff kind of gets in the way. Well, no offense to the people who work with you, but me kind of gets in the way. And I figured out a way to just man it all myself. And that way I could kind of, if I'm not in the mood today, nobody's depending on me. I could kind of just go when I have the passion, you know, right. And I turned the thing into, I kind of got rid of my schedule a few years back, and I started doing shows only when I'm in the mood and have something to say. There's just some people, they kind of don't like, they kind of want that schedule thing. But I found with his schedule is some days you'd get on the mic. Hey, I don't need to tell you anything today. So I'm kind of wasting your time now with filler and just, you know, doing the moves. So I've kind of changed it up a little bit, and I found this way to work better for me.
How has the show changed since the beginning? Like, remember when you first started the fucking show? Was it a free show back then? Obviously, it had to be free, right?
Yeah, it was free. We did it. It was the first. There was no podcasting, so it was just internet radio. You would go to our website, and it would just start playing. It was just like a file that would start playing. It was 30 minutes. And it was more of, you know, it sounded like a morning show type of deal. Like, you would tune in the morning. You know, that's what we were going for.
And how many co-hosts? You had a bunch of co-hosts. I mean, I know I listened to old ones. Like, when I heard Niggerbop, I know there was other dudes that were hosting the show with you.
Yeah, we've had thousands of men try to sit here with me. They've all failed.
And you're one of the only guys that I think it's very rare that a person can man a show that way by himself, keep it interesting, keep it flowing. You know, that's one of the things that I think you do really well. Did you just get sick of co-hosts? You just didn't want to share the...
Here's what happened. We used to have, you know, in our, you know, I would say our peak, not our peak. Right now is our peak. But we had a few years there where it was the rotating comedian thing, you know, like everybody does now, where every day there was, you know, two or three different comedians from Chicago sitting around gabbing. And that was a rather unique idea back then. There wasn't really any shows doing that, you know, back then. And then you comedians figured out podcasting, and it all turned to shit.
Yeah.
Oh, so we had to. I had a falling out with almost every comedian on earth. So I don't really have a choice.
What happened with that as well? Because here's the thing: I've noticed, you know, and this is the thing, man. You know, a lot of people, and I heard you talk about this on the show. You talked this about Dave Smith, where you know, David said he was like, I don't really know about that Mike guy. And then Dave came around on the last show. I heard you talk about that as well. But what is it about comics? Do comics just bug you in general? Because I know you had a thing with Fenoya, you had a thing with Amy Miller, a thing with Patrick Melton, and you kind of go on these attacks, and they're stand-up comics, and it makes it, for a guy like me, who, look, I'm not fucking friends with everybody, but I look at it, if I worked at Chase Bank, and there's another person that works at this bank, and they're being attacked, it makes it very difficult for me to be seen walking around my Chase Bank with you.
Yes, exactly. So I've known comedians for quite a long time. And So when I started bringing comedians on the show here, I forget what year it was, but we were bringing on, you know, TJ Miller, that group of people, you know, everybody in Chicago who is who's out in L.A. now. You know, that was the group. You know, you had TJ Miller out here. Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah.
Had all those guys. And so they would come on the show. And then when they moved, we had, you know, the next generation of comics come on the show. And they all share a common sickness, the comedians. You know, I feel that they share a personality trait, and that trait has something to do with getting on that stage night after night and bombing for the first 4 or 5 years, you know, over and over again. Now, I've tried stand-up many times, and when you go up and you don't do well, you go, this is retarded. You know, who the fuck would want to do this again? So to have this brain where you go, I need to do that again. I need these laughs. And you know what? It's not about, I can't speak for every comedian, but I would say 95% of comedians, they're not going on stage because they have something important to tell you. They're going on stage because they need the laughs. They need the applause.
It's extremely selfish. It's extreme, and that's the problem with a lot of these comics who pick an agenda and pick a side, whether it's right or left. You're like, guys, let's stop pretending that you have a fucking bigger message. You want to get your dick hard off of laughs. You want to fuck a chick after the show. You want to make a lot of money and have nice things. This is why we all do it. Now, if you can have a message or have something important to say within that, like, yeah, I think it's great to do that, but let's get real. We're all just narcissists.
So here's another thing. Interesting thing about comedians. Comedy is open to anybody. So this is how comedy starts. If you live in a city, Chicago, New York, or Los Angeles, there's open mics everywhere. And open mics are great. Open mics are a great place for drifters to show up and hang out with a large group of people without having to be invited and without having to ask.
Right.
So you've got a lot of people that get addicted to this going out every night business, and nobody's ever calling them, hey, dude, let's go hit up the open mic. Usually it's individual people showing up by themselves and hanging out all night. So I think it draws in a kind of a crowd of losers, you know, and a lot of these people get into stand up because they kind of like the hanging out factor every night, too. So I think you're starting with a corrupted group of people. You know, like I said, there are, of course, you know, exceptions to that. There's a lot of great people who need to go up there and say these things and change the world. But I would say most of them are frauds that learned this magic trick over 6 years.
Yes,
and
stand
now
up.
Just kind of, you know, in this thing.
Stand up, the way that I look at it, and this is just the truth, right? You should look at stand up comedy as, you know, the same way you would put a movie on and you press play and you go, ha ha, I'm going to laugh at that for an hour and a half. And then you go home and you get over it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that there needs to be, or in stand-up, I think we romanticize it and we try to turn it into this thing where we're changing the world or we're affecting people's lives in some other way. It's like, no, dude, making people laugh is enough, you know? But I think it's kind of interesting you bring up the lack of a barrier of entry at all. Like, it just doesn't exist. Anybody who can get up and do it. And I'm seeing that happening with broadcasting and with podcasting as well.
Yes.
Do you think that there should be, you know, some sort of barrier of entry? Do you think iTunes should put on some sort of like, all right, dude, you got to have 10,000 downloads for your podcast before we're even going to list you?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that's the responsibility of the comedians. You know, outside of the comedian podcast circuit, it doesn't really work that way. So this is how comedians work, and this is why I don't get along with them. And you brought it up at the beginning of the show. In order to be friends with some of them, you kind of got to be friends with all of them. So they don't let you hate on other comedians. So, for instance, you go to an open mic and let's say 30 comics are there, and I'm there to hang out with the four cool ones, you know, the four ones that are meant to be comics, and I want to hang out with them.
It's funny you're bringing this up because like, there's literally a dude, there's a fucking albino, there's a nerd, there's a thug who spent some time in prison. It's like we all shouldn't be hanging out together.
An old woman carrying a basket. And listen, I'm supposed to treat all these people with respect. These people are psychos, so I'll go to these shows and I would go, look at this guy, he's a fucking... And then that word gets around, oh, Mike talks shit. Well, yeah, of course, look at these people you're forcing me to interact with. I'm not supposed to be with them.
That's fucking hysterical. I've literally never heard anybody break it down that way. But these people are not... There's a homeless guy. There's a guy that works on Wall Street who makes $100,000 a year.
Yes.
That's fucking
and now talk about comedy now. I mean, now, forget about it. You know, I'm glad that I got out then because, you know, I was going to move to L.A. 4 years ago. What would I have done now in L.A.? I mean, I'd be finished.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, who knows, dude? You're a good-looking guy. You dress well. You're a very funny guy. You're charismatic. So you might have just turned into a phony and played the game and gotten rich.
You know, these guys, they're not even doing stand-up anymore. They're marching. My ex-co-host, there's a picture of him on the air. He's holding up a sign. Now fascist America. This is not what I got into this business for.
And there's nothing funny about it. It's like, look, you could have convictions and you could have things, but it's like, at the very least, like, if you're on social media, they're looking for you to be funny. And even if I have a message to send on social media, like I've been posting political shit lately just because it's so big in the news right now, it's always trying to be funny. You know, there's really, I'm not really on either side.
Let's forget about funny. Be creative. That's all we're asking for. Be creative, be unique, have passion. But when you see people just repeating, you know, this is this whole political thing, what lost me on the comics with this one, another disaster from the comics, was that they stopped being creative. They just started parroting, you know, what everybody else was saying. And you're seeing Chelsea Peretti, you know, 60 tweets a day. Trump must be stopped. Trump. There's nothing special in that anymore. These are, you know, I thought these people had a little more talent, you know, but they're not showing any talent anymore.
It's funny because, like, you know, it's a dangerous climate to even go and tweet about anything at all with any opinion, because I don't have an opinion. I'm very in the middle. I think Trump's a fucking buffoon. I think Hillary's a criminal. I didn't vote for either one of them. So I make jokes literally against both sides. I made a joke about Mike Pence, you know, thinking he was at a slave auction, not at Hamilton. And I have fucking dudes on the right going like, dude, how are you white knighting? How are there white knights now on the alt-right going, you can't say that about Pence. It's like, where the fuck did your sense of... As soon as these guys get into power, your sense of humor goes out the window.
It's really weird. You know, my whole deal is that I'm not on the right. I need people to know that because I think I got a lot of people now thinking I'm part of the right. You know, I even had Gavin message me this morning, Gavin McInnes, talking to me. I think he thinks that I'm on one of these, you know, Steven Crowder type of right wing media men that have emerged. I am not one of those faggots. I don't care about the right side of politics and I don't care about the left side of politics. I care about reality and respecting that. And I've always liked to stand on the outside and go, is that part of reality or not? You know, is this, you know, rational what this person is saying or not? And with this election, what they've made you do is join one side or the other. And if you're in the middle, if you're on the outside and you're just picking apart what seems to be faggotry and nonsense, you're going to get hate from each side, which is incredible. Yeah. We need to bring people back to that reality portion, which is in the middle.
It's funny, though, I think most people are in the middle, though. I think 90% of the people are in the middle, and then 10% of the people are really far right or really far left, but they have the biggest voice because you said it. They practice the faggotry the loudest. So those are the ones that are beating the drums, and those are the ones that are tweeting at you. But most of the time, most people agree. Most people think Trump's a buffoon and Hillary's a criminal. Everyone kind of looks at that. And I think there's a thing, and I really can't say this enough. It's like comedians, I think it's our job, or forget comedians, right? With what we do, whether we're doing podcasting, radio, stand-up comedy, if we're creating entertainment, I think it's our job to look for the bullshit, find the bullshit, expose it, and make fun of that.
There you go. It's very hard to do that right now without, like you just said, getting attacked. You know, if you do say something about, you know, the Trump side of things, you're going to get all those guys, you know, attacking you. And if you say something about the left, they assume you're part of the alt-right. I've had this comedian, Mike Bridenstine. You know, he went nuts after the election, like many comedians did. You know, again, you said 90% of people are in that rational thing. Comics, though, I would say 90% of comics had a full meltdown after the election. You know, maybe not in New York. Well, yeah, in New York as well.
Yeah, they were having meltdowns.
Circle seems to be more of like the manlier group of comics. Definitely in L.A., they have shut down business. There's working on, you know, stopping Trump still to this day. And
a little side note, did you see that 6 of the electorate said they're not going to cast a vote for Trump?
Is that true?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. There's been like 2 or 3 in history.
Is that today that came out?
That came out today on the Daily News.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not going to be good.
Yeah, but It's kind of funny, and let me switch gears here a little bit, because I want to just talk to you about a couple things here. There's something that you said on your, I think it's actually written on your website even, that I always loved, because I feel like I'm in the same category, right? Mike David's a tough pill to swallow, you know? You definitely...
That's not true, only for faggots.
Well, yeah, look.
Only a real twisted person has a problem with what I'm doing over
think
here.
Think of how big of a pill Mike David is if faggots can't get it down their throat.
Oh, there you go. That's
so
fair.
But you wrote this on your website, and you've said this. You're like, listen to me 3 times, and you'll fucking fall in love with me. You will get what I do. It'll take 3 times.
Yeah, I said. Somebody said, give it 3 episodes, and you'll start understanding it. Because, you know, if you understand something right away, it's probably not too original. It's probably something you've heard before. So, yeah, anything new. I mean, any new type of sounding song or anything that is a little bit original sounds off at first. You know, any new art, any new music, any movie, that it's a little off. You don't right away go, yeah, I love this. It takes a little bit. So I guess that's what people say about the show. Give it 3 episodes.
Well, why do you think that you're a tough pill to swallow? Why do you think that is at first people go like, that guy's kind of a fucking dick?
Because it probably sounds very mean. It probably sounds like, oh, this guy thinks he knows everything. You know what it is, too? A lot of people, a lot of hating somebody is past experiences. So what you do is, like, if you see a guy with glasses, he's got a certain look, you think you hate that guy. But it's usually because you've known, like, 3 guys in your past, maybe, that kind of looked and sounded like that and acted like that. So you think you know this guy. And I think a lot of that probably happens to me. I think a lot of people tune in and they think, oh, this guy is going to be like one of those douche bro guys or something like that. And then I think I surprise people maybe when they get to know me.
Yeah, I think you're also, because it's kind of funny, I watched your stuff for a while before I actually met you. You come off as like a more of an intimidating dude on the air and video, you know, watching you on video. And then I meet you and you're just kind of like a nice guy. You're very like, you know, like I said, you got a good style. You're a handsome guy, but it's not the same type of alpha intimidation that you're expecting when you see you on the radio.
Sure. You know what people forget? These are shows. I'm in show mode.
Yeah.
And you almost get, maybe my show mode is off. That could be possibly a factor, because you know what happens? You develop a show character after a while, whether you want to or not. You develop a show persona that just starts happening once the mic's on, and you could kind of get stuck in that, maybe. And maybe my show persona is a little off. But yeah, in real life, I act like a reasonable person because I'm navigating through real life. So I'm not going around town going, hey, you fucking piece of shit. You know, like, I'm a regular human being. And this is a show. And here's another problem. Everybody's got this thing where you want to see a regular guy. I don't want to see a regular guy. If I want to see a regular guy, I'll go down the street and watch him serve me coffee. You tune in a show, you want to see something a little bit more exciting. You know, people want Kanye West to be normal. Why would you want your entertainers to be normal? This should be an experience. This should be a show. They shouldn't be trying to be so normal and calm. You know, I want to see some excitement.
What about the, you get a lot of people accusing you of being racist. What do you say to that?
I do.
Yeah.
I really don't.
All right, let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
you make a lot of jokes and you say some things. You say words that are considered no-no words that get people triggered.
This is my Marc Maron fantasy.
Yeah.
Why do you say the N-word so much?
Well, I mean, look, you know, I say it. I don't give a fuck, right? Yeah. I think I get a little more room. I'm Puerto Rican, you know. But you're a white guy. You don't shy away from really any words, you know. You get a little bit of a reputation when some people have a conversation about you. It's like, that guy's racist. That guy says shit.
People say that about me.
Yeah. I mean, not often. I've just seen it here and there.
Yeah. I'm so beyond that point because, with my show, usually, like, my audience knows me very well, and they know that it's not racism. So, like, when I throw around nigger all the time on the show, to me, I don't even hear myself say it, and I don't even think they hear it anymore. It, to them, they know the deal. So it's very hard to go, oh, yeah, that might be, you know, pretty tough for some people. But, there's something going on right now that's a little tricky. You know, when we first started incorporating the word nigger on the show years back, I think it was crazy.
It was a segment.
Incorporated. Wait, hold on. I think that there was a time where I don't think I would ever say nigger out loud on the show. And then all of a sudden, I think when I started hanging out with comedians, we would start joking about it with ourselves, you know, in our private circles. And it was so funny to say these absurd things. And the reason it was so funny is because it's absurd. It's ridiculous to say all niggers should die or something like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's always been about absurdity. You know, and I don't even like to explain it to people, really. You know, like I said, nobody accuses me of being racist. I don't get any emails, you're racist. I don't get, you say the N-word, you do this. Nobody complains to me about it, ever.
Well, I think it's also, you know, because you kind of have your world where you have your fan base. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's a little different. Do you ever, you know, has that ever kind of worried you about saying, because obviously it worries us. We're stand-up comics. We're getting on television. We say this ridiculous, absurd shit, and we've said a lot of it, you know. You know, do you ever worry about the ceiling that creates for you and how far you could take it?
Years ago, I realized that, you know, what you're talking about here is working with other people. You know, what you're talking about here is trying to get other people to give you money to do other things or to give you a chance. I don't have any of that here. This is what I look at that. This is what I want to do. I'm here. This is my main gig. You know, I don't want to go into movies. I don't want to be on TV. I don't want any of these things. I never did. I started this show, like I said, with my friends kind of joking around, and then it became a thing that that I just do. And I think this is where I want to stay. I like it where I don't have to answer to anybody. I like it where nobody could complain. Nobody could tell me what to do. And I don't have to worry about, I shouldn't say this because that's going to, you know, worry the boss there. And we might get. So it takes a lot of stress off you. If you figure out what you want and you could kind of, you know, shoot for that and control it. But yeah, in the comedy world, you know, you're thinking about it as a comic where you have to work with so many different people. And I always say the more people you work with, the more tiny little roadblocks you got inside of you, the more, like, okay, for instance, if you're friends with 100 people, it's a lot harder to talk shit about anything because odds are you're going to be offending one of those 100 people that you're friends with. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be doing one of these things that you're bitching about. You understand?
Yeah, no, of course. And I agree with you about that. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, I think that's the trick of being an entertainer is kind of navigating this world and not pissing off people enough to where they don't want to work with you, but still pissing people off enough that the American public goes, oh, we fucking want to get behind that guy, because there's nothing that people want to get behind more than somebody who has some sort of conviction and passion and whatever it is.
That's another thing. I think that's another miss. Stand-up comedy is trying to get everybody to like them. Yeah. Stand-up comedy goes in front of a crowd, and this is a crowd of old ladies, you know, men in their 40s, 18-year-old kids. They're trying to make everybody laugh. I think that idea is kind of whack. You know, you would never do this for music. You know, you would never put up you know, everybody understands punk bands are for a certain group of people. You know, everyone understands that, you know, you're not seeing many old white women at the Kanye West concert. So it's understood in music that genres are a thing. And I'm happy being a genre, being for a select group of people. I don't need to make a 45-year-old woman laugh. That, to me, is sickening.
Well, stand-up is I compare it to jazz music, right? So, because almost anybody in the world can go into a jazz club and have some drinks, you know, eat some food and just enjoy themselves. But it's a very specific medium.
Yeah. No, I know. I also think stand-up is a dead art form, though. So, yeah. I think that it's, I go back and forth with it, because if you're in a stand-up audience and it's a great show, it's one of the better times of your life. I mean, it really feels alive, right?
Yeah.
Very hard to show people that on TV. A lot of people don't understand.
It shouldn't be on TV.
What's that?
It shouldn't be on TV. We should be doing TV shows and radio shows, and people should come and see us do stand-up in clubs.
But I don't, you know what? I'm not, I don't really like stand-up. You know, I found that out about myself. I ran a comedy club. I hung out with comedians. I've been to, you know, 4,500 shows. I used to, that was my life, like yours. Every night you would go to a show. And I don't like it. I don't like the idea that it's scripted. I don't like the idea that the crowd is sitting there and you're making like fake off the cuff comments that you've been rehearsing for 4 years and they're laughing at that. I don't like the whole trickery. I like a guy, I like podcasting. I like, this is real. This is really happening. There was no script. There was no trick. We're watching something really happen. You know, that's what I'm into. Now, great stand-up could come off like that, you know, for the first time. But it's after you see, you know, I would make like, I would help produce stand-up albums for people.
Yeah.
And you'd have to watch their set four or five times, six times. And same thing with the comedy club. You know, we'd have two shows a night. And you just start hating it. You go, look at this guy. He's doing the same rehearsed fake laugh every fucking night. And to me, that is disgusting.
Well, yeah, that fucking comic stinks. The comic that does the laugh in the same spot and they use it as a trick to get the audience to laugh, that guy stinks. But there are great comics. I mean, who are some of the comics you enjoy? You have to enjoy some.
Really tough right now. I haven't gone to a stand-up show in years. You know, it's more about who are the comics I enjoy on podcasts
right
now.
Right, I got it.
Rather than stand-up. So it's really, really tough for me to like any comics right now. You know, I would say they're all... I listen to almost every podcast. I would say that every comic is fraudulent and up to something. I would say don't trust them. No. Yeah, it's tough. I'd have to come out to some shows because watching them do stand up live is completely different than anything else. So I wouldn't be able to judge that.
Right.
But we've lost our great ones. You know, there was an exciting time. I was really, you know, Louis C.K. was an exciting guy at a time, you know, right before he got famous. Remember that?
Yeah.
Most people were behind him.
Yeah, I mean, look, Louis's great, but I'm not one of these people that are going, oh my God, he's the best comic in the world. I think that there's still some brilliant ones out there. I think if you go to the clubs, if you go to the Comedy Cellar or the Stand most any nights in New York City, you're going to see some great comedy.
Who do you think? Let's hear.
I mean, the guys that I think Bill Burr's the best. He's my favorite. I think if... but then it's like, it's all my fucking friends, dude. Like, I love Joe List. I think Joe List is one of the funniest comics on the planet. You go watch him in a club, he's going to make you laugh like you've never laughed. Big J, I know you don't love Big J, but...
Oh, I love Big J.
Okay. I thought you didn't like Big J.
Nope. That was a gag. Big J, I hope you're listening today. You are a friend, my friend.
Oh, good. All right, well, look, I don't even know sometimes. Like, I don't even know sometimes.
I don't hate Big J. That's kind of more of a bit. So your point though, you know, when I was hanging out with stand-up, all my favorite stand-ups were the ones I hung out with too.
Yeah.
Same thing when I used to be, when I was 16, I was into punk rock. It was cool back then though. And, I hung out in this like punk rock Chicago scene and all my favorite bands were the local bands. It's something more about, there's like a realness to it, to the people that you know in your scene. So I think it's always going to feel like that. And it probably is. I mean, I remember going to local shows and just laughing more than I've ever laughed in my life at people like Junior Stopka. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, I don't know him, but I know who he is.
And so, yeah, back then, you know, I would say Junior Stopka, he's the funniest comic, you know. But now it's if you don't go to those shows every night, it's a different thing. It's very hard to rate, you know. I only see stand-up on TV now. And it's very hard to like it on TV.
All right. Before we end the interview portion of this show, I wanted to touch base on just the Opie and Anthony subreddit. Do you go on this subreddit? Because I go on. I go on.
No. And I hope there's nothing bad about me on there. And if there is, do not read it. Here's my deal. Reddit. I go on all the sites. I read all the stuff. I enjoy it. Okay. I do. I really enjoy it. I wake up in the morning. I go to Twitter. I like all this stuff. And I don't get mad anymore. I've been doing this for 13 years like this. You know, when we started, it was forums, you know, internet forums. And, ooh, would I get mad. And I would argue with every individual person. I really have trained myself to not care about what the individual says. Now it's more about, like, the atmosphere of a group of people. So I'll only respond to something if I feel like something is getting twisted for a large group of people. But I don't respond to individual. I sort of pull out and I look at the big picture. And right. The big picture right now is that I've got a wife, great friends, and great fans that all understand what I'm doing and back me. And the comments from anonymous Redditors are the last thing that need to go into my head. You know what I mean? If they have something to say that's important, they could say it using their real name on Facebook or Twitter. If you can't say it with your real name, this could be any one of my 10 million enemies that I've collected over the years.
Right.
You know what I mean? In disguise, trying to get something going. So Reddit is the only site where I say, I don't want to hear about Reddit. I don't want you linking to Reddit. I'm not going on Reddit. You got to be a creep to be typing up something over there.
Right. Well, look, I use it as a tool to communicate with people. We have what I noticed is that Legion of Skanks' most hardcore fans happen to be on Reddit. Those are the ones that are sharing our content. Those are the ones that are, and I,
see,
one of the, one,
oh, okay. See, we've got a Facebook group for that. And
yeah,
that's
you do,
kind of
right.
Where we all hang out. So if there's anyone on Reddit, it's usually a rogue enemy of mine.
Yeah.
So I try to stay off there. I find it to be a dark place. And what they did to Kumia, my king, it was disgraceful. You know, these are supposed to be fans of him. And all they do is sit on there all day picking him apart, trying to find a reason to create some drama.
Right. And why the association with Kumia? Why? Because you're doing it independently successfully for so long.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to do a show a week on Anthony Kumia's network?
Well, that's a great question, because I wouldn't network up with anybody. And,
you were saying that for a long time about Kumia specifically.
What's that?
You were saying that for a long time about Compound Media, saying, yeah, you would, you know, you're just not interested in doing a partnership. Yeah,
I really wasn't. And but, you know, I don't do any other things to promote this show. I don't market the show at all. I don't go on other people's podcasts because I'm not really, I don't know people. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in the comedy scene, you know, like 100 people and they all have podcasts, so you can go on all their shows. Where I'm in Chicago, whose show am I going to go on? I know there's a couple gay guys who do a podcast about gay rights stuff. I can't go over there. So I needed something. You know, I can't keep, you know, just doing it this way. So I did need to be put in front of a bigger audience. And I thought this was perfect.
Yeah.
Because Opie and Anthony fans, there's no audience that would understand what I'm trying to do better than the Opie and Anthony audience. You know, there's a ton of those guys on our network, Compound.
Of course.
I figured, you know, that's the best people to get in front of. So I had to take the opportunity, and we'll see where it goes. But already, I mean, like, the show, I believe, has like doubled its listenership since I started Kumia.
And do you guys do like a an iTunes version of the show for free at all or no?
Yeah. So Red Bar is like, we're not like, Kumia doesn't produce our show like they did like they do their other shows. Like right. We're an independent show. We're just kind of like simulcast almost on Kumia. So we do one exclusive show for them a week, and then we do one free show a week for our site, and then we do bonus stuff.
Right, on your website for members only, which is honestly that I saw what you were doing with that when we were developing the business model for Gas Digital. And that's, you know, literally I said, I was like, I think what you have going on is kind of the future for monetizing content, because I think the truth is comics are lazy, so they don't want to put in the work. But if you have a dedicated following of a few thousand people that are downloading your content every single week, there's a real opportunity for, if you're savvy and smart, to turn that into a business. And that's kind of where we saw the opportunity for Gas Digital.
Yeah, it's crazy. Gas Digital's doing great. I was really hoping it would fail when you started, but congrats, man. It really is really Thank doing
you.
Good.
Thank you very much. All right, look, let's switch gears real quick. Thanks for doing the interview portion. I know fucking people feel like fags when they do interviews, so great stuff. I want to talk to you about some things that are going on in the world right now. So you know what, Shannon, let's guess the news.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to know more information. I should have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Man, these guys don't know shit.
Oh, shit. Here we go, guys. Guess the news. Mike, I don't know if you know about this segment. I don't really read. That's not my thing. I'm not a fucking newspaper guy.
You know? Oh.
I'll click on a headline if it really grabs me. But for the most part, read through my Facebook timeline, get everything that I need out of the headlines, and I move on with my day, right?
Yeah, me too. How can you read these articles? It's like everybody's trying to, you know, impress you with their writing skills in these articles. So you're reading like seven paragraphs for something that could have been explained in two sentences.
Exactly. We don't need it. We don't, because the problem is just like comedy, just like podcasting, just like a lot of other things, because of technology, the barrier of entry is non-existent.
Yes,
and there's a billion blogs, and there's a billion people out there going like, oh, we could be a writer. I can be a professional writer. That's why websites like Yelp drive me out of my fucking mind, because it's like, oh, really, dude? You're an amateur fucking restaurant reviewer, you fucking homo, go kill yourself.
It's really bad. And the world's psychotics have I want to make a documentary called Commenters, because we need an inside look at these people. And you'd be really surprised. I've dug deep. Some of these people, like if you go to Yelp and you see a guy who's got 1,500 seven paragraph Yelp reviews, you could copy his username, go on the internet. He's also on UFO forums, vampire forums. He's talking on IMDb. Yeah. He's everywhere. And these guys have an addiction, and they are commenting all day on various topics. You know, there's nothing that they're exclusive to. This is a psychotic movement, and it needs to be exposed.
Yeah, well, the internet ended up being a place to go where, you know, no matter what fucking genetic disadvantages you have, you got big Coke glasses, you got a fucking shitty skin, no matter what it is, you could hide behind an avatar or an egg, and you can go out and have an opinion. You could be cool. You look, being funny and clever, when you can delete what you said and edit it and keep on going back and forth, if you could spend, anybody could be funny and clever if they spend 15 minutes staring at their screen.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. A lot of that stuff doesn't matter to me. Like, you know, that's why I need to know who it's coming from. Who it's coming from is more important than what it's saying almost. I always say, look at the dude's profile picture before you start responding. You know, because on Facebook, I'll watch people getting in arguments. You're talking to an autistic kid.
Yeah, 19-year-old.
7x7 beige cell block. You know, and it's not the type of person you should be conversing with all day. You know.
So look, here's the big thing in the news this week, and I don't know what's going on. I saw a video. Shannon, do you have any video of this? There's something going on with a pipeline. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it is. I'm guessing, and this is what we do with the guessing news. We're just going to guess. I'm going to guess it has something to do with fracking, which I don't really know what that is either. And they're maybe destroying some sort of, I know something to do with American Indians. You know anything about this, Mike?
About pipelines.
About this pipeline thing. There's something happening with a pipeline right now.
If I knew anything about pipelines, please put a gun to my head and end me now. Because why on earth should I be involving myself with something like that?
Shannon, will you do me a favor?
Actually, I know a lot about pipelines. Yeah. Yes. What do you need to know?
Shannon, grab me a coffee and also grab me my coat, which has my weed and my bowl.
Okay. Yeah. I can tell you a quick thing before I run about the pipeline issue.
Yeah, please. What is it?
Okay. So it's a $3.7 billion Dakota Access Project. There's steady opposition against it because it threatens water resources and sacred tribal lands of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe.
Oh, the Sioux Tribe.
Yeah, Standing Rock Sioux.
Interesting. So we're for a couple American Indian tribes are gonna fuck with their water.
Yeah, well, if they put the pipeline in, there is the potential of it screwing up their water supply.
But what's the positive of the pipeline? Because I got to be honest with you. These American Indians are not really contributing much for society these days.
Very little.
Name one thing that the American Indians have done in the past fucking 200 years, besides show us how to fucking harvest corn.
Let's take it back to the beginning of time when they said Columbus came and they raped and pillaged these people. Why on earth? Okay, let's pretend Native Americans grew out of the soil in America, okay? They are native. Let's pretend that, okay?
Yeah.
And let's pretend a cornfield of Native Americans popped up and they go, this is our land. There might have been, you know, how many Native Americans were there when they came here? Do they need all of America? Should all of America be owned by them? How about this? When they came over, you got 20 Native Americans running around naked screaming. And you go, hey, you know, this is a lot of land here. We'd like to build here. And then they start shooting arrows at you. So what are you supposed to do besides, you know, annihilate them?
Yeah. And rape and pillage their land and their women.
Well, it's not their land. Listen, let me tell you why it's not their land. They didn't buy it. So here's what I would have done if I was Columbus and come over. They go, this is our land. I go, I understand, but you only have 20 people here in your tribe. I don't think you need all of Nebraska. So how about this?
So what do you propose, Christopher Columbus?
We're going to give you this 40-mile radius, which is really – and here's like the deed. We're going to write you up a deed.
Here's Long Island. Go to Long Island. This is all yours.
Yeah, it's all yours. You have it. And then from now on, in order to own land, you got to purchase it. And that money goes into like a, government type of fund, and then we use that to start building a civilization. How about that? The Indians said no. They just wanted to run around naked eating, you know, moose or whatever they do. So I don't know why these people are so respectful.
Columbus, he proposed something pretty dope probably, and then their reaction was, ay, 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 and then they shot more arrows.
What do you think they were doing? Do you think they were actually like, you know, sophisticated, you know, having a conversation. Oh, well, let me run this by my guys. No. It was probably chaos. And they're like, it was probably like, you know, going somewhere and it was, like a forest. If the forest was filled with yetis, you know, trying to kill you.
I must run this proposal by my CFO, Little Rabbit.
There was no CFO.
Yeah.
All it was killing. And that's fine. Listen, if they want to have a killing place, that's good. But again, you don't own all of America just because you were the first one in this little wooded area here.
Yeah, Shannon, no. Shannon, when you come back, I need to know the positive benefits of this pipeline because I have to put it on a scale. We want to be like these people that help people out. And we have this philanthropic thing in us as Americans where we got to. But look, if the pipeline is creating jobs, money, and helping people out and saving people's lives and doing good for people, maybe we should consider wiping out the Sioux. I mean, why are they still being American Indians? Move on. I'm not being a fucking Puerto Rican with a fucking mariachi band. I mean, come on.
Well, it's because we've come up with this nonsense where everybody's traditions and cultures are so respected. It needs to end. I mean, you're running around and doing all this nonsense with your ancient, you know, I wish I had an ancient tradition from the year 6 that I could do. I bet people would be really thrilled with my performance. You know, enough with it already. These things are out of date.
The ancient tradition of dying of the Black Plague.
Yeah, I just don't. And what is in this pipe? Have we even thought about that? What is in this giant pipe?
Shannon, speaking of which, you didn't get my pipe.
I asked you what was the other thing. I forgot what you said. I'll run and get it. It's okay. I'll run and get it in a second. But so here's one positive thing. It says supporters of the pipeline said the project offers the most direct route for taking shale oil from North Dakota to the Gulf Coast refineries and would be safer than road or rail transportation.
Oh, see? Safer than road or rail. And well, but here's the thing, right? It's oil. It always comes down to oil, right?
People love this oil.
How is it possible, Mike? And maybe I'm just a dummy here.
Yeah,
well, I know we have the technology where we don't need to have cars run on gasoline. It exists. We have it out there. It's, I mean, what's going on here? Is this literally just a fucking big government conspiracy?
I'll tell you what. So my fiance lives in Canada right now, okay, in Calgary, and oil is like their main thing. So everybody out there is like an anti-environment person, and they're all about oil because that's their whole economy is based around oil there. So everybody goes into the oil business as their job, and they just think that's like the best thing to do because that's what they were born into, you know, and it creates jobs. I really don't like jobs. I'll tell you what, you know, this whole, my whole life is we need jobs for the people. We need jobs. Maybe these people shouldn't have been born. If there's not jobs for them, then they're not necessary. Now we're just creating jobs so that people could, you know, have some money.
Yeah.
That's nuts. How about don't have so many people? You know, then you wouldn't need all these jobs. You wouldn't need all this oil. It really needs to start with, you know, if you're a mother of five and you're trying to figure out how to feed those kids, there's an issue. There's an issue. There's an issue if you work at the dry cleaner and you go, I'm a single woman. Working at the dry cleaner, I think I make $6.95 a day. I should have five kids. That right. would be. Oh wait, I'm talking to a Puerto Rican here. This might be.
No, but look, I completely agree with you. I look. Here's the thing, man. You know, obviously we can't put restrictions on the amount of kids that people have, but there is a personal responsibility where we you have to go. It's like stop having kids.
Not restriction. How about just some realistic talk? You know, from people. This Obama should be on TV going. Listen, if you're just a woman, you know, you're 17 and, you know, you work at Mickey D's, don't have a kid. It's just pretty dumb. But they don't even talk about it. Like, no restrict. Don't tell. I'm not saying tell people what to do, but encourage, you know, this idea of reality.
Yeah. But instead, we have people out there, the liberals, going like, yes, 18 to 25 year olds are voting for Hillary in record numbers. Of course they are. They don't fucking know any better.
Yeah.
They have no, if you ever talk to an 18-year-old, they have no idea what's going on in their own lives, much less the world. We should push every age, anything that's important, for everything from drinking to smoking cigarettes to going to war to voting, should be pushed off until you're 28, 10 years.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the solution to unpack all of these problems, it just keeps going back. And I think that, If you want to solve all these problems, you almost got to like start from scratch with some really basic ideas, you know, because now you're trying to fix things, but you got to fix like the root first. Nobody's talking about roots, you know, nobody to really tell the truth about what's going on, you know.
Mike, I want you to help me out with this here because we're not running out of time, but I got a couple more segments to do with you, and I want to get these in with you.
Yeah.
This hat right here, if you guys are noticing, it says Black Pussy, and it's a band. Shannon, where is this band from? Do you have any information on the band? Look it up for me. They're a band, and I don't even know what type of music they are, but the name I love, right? I really love the name, and I have a thing where I can't wear merch of a band that I don't like. I'm not a fucking phony. You see kids doing that now. Like you'll see like a 17-year-old hot chick wearing a Nirvana shirt, and you're
Metallica
like,
Metallica they're doing now.
Yeah, it's like it's a fashion statement. You go to fucking Marshalls and you could just buy an AC/DC shirt.
Listen, I understand. Like it really, like I get how the Metallica shirt could look cool, but if you're not a fan of the band, how could you do that? How could you wear the shirt?
To me.
To me, that's nuts. That's too far.
Even like I have a Johnny Cash shirt. I kind of feel like a phony because I only like six Johnny Cash songs.
You get that Target?
Yeah, I got it at like Hot Topic or something. But yeah, I really like the six Johnny Cash songs that I like.
Yeah, of course. But do you need to be one of those guys wearing that? That's just like a poor person shirt nowadays.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a Pepsi shirt.
Yeah, that's like what, just a shitty guy goes to Target, you know, he gets that.
All right, so I want to, where's this band from, Shannon?
I believe they're from Portland.
Portland, Oregon, which is very very artsy-fartsy liberals out there.
Wait, can I grab my pipe and take a hit with you?
Yeah, please, dude. Let's smoke at the same time.
Right. One sec.
Go get your pipe. Tell me a little bit more about this band, Shannon. They're from New Orleans. Do you have a bio on them?
Hold on, let me go back. I wasn't prepared for this.
Pull up a bio. It's okay, Shannon. This is why you're a great producer. Also, were you prepared to give me baked goods today?
It was in my email. My bank account is negative $200.
Shannon, how are you this fucking poor?
I'm so poor. It's because when I went away upstate, I missed a weekend of working. And
Ralph, can we give Shannon a bonus?
He's not here.
It's fucking sad. She just said she's negative $200 in her bank account.
Yes.
Let's donate and get her some money.
That's a great idea.
Can we do a GoFundMe? How do we do that for Shannon?
Shannon, you're out of the red.
And that's a great idea, but I don't know what to offer.
But she is on her period, though, so.
No, I'm not.
I smell it. What does that smell?
It's probably your unwashed shirt.
Shannon, you fucking bitch. Don't you ever, ever cut me down in front of the fans. Are you crazy? Okay, so what about this band? Give me a little bit of information about them, Shannon.
Well, there's a lot of backlash on the internet because of the name of it. Here on DailyDot.com, black feminists are trying to shut them down, basically, because of the name of the group.
By the way, those are the only people that I think should be able to be feminists.
Oh, is that why you're wearing this hat?
Black feminists. Because if you're a white woman in 2016, you're at the top of the mountain. If you're a black woman, it's still okay, but I understand if there's a black feminist out there, but if you're a white feminist, suck my fucking dick.
Wait a minute.
What?
Oh, Lewis, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, it cut for a sec. So are you wearing this hat because there's like a movement, people are against this?
It's not that. I want to like the music because I love the name Black Pussy, and I want people to hate me wearing this hat around New York City. But then I could say to them, oh, no, it's a band. But if I don't like the music, I feel like I'm a phony.
Now, is Black Pussy about, you know, the vagina of a negress? Or is it about, like, a nerdy black nerd, like the type, one of these diversities that you see in the protests?
Like a Hannibal Buress?
No. Hannibal I wouldn't consider to be a pussy.
Well, nerds. I shouldn't say that because Hannibal actually is a pretty like big dude. I bet he could throw down.
Yeah, Hannibal is a sick person, and
he's very funny. By the way, I'm a fan of Hannibal.
Yeah, of course. How can you not be in this climate? So, but a black pussy. I see many of them. You know, I was watching the American Music Awards, and they do this thing at award shows now where they hire small groups of what I like to call diversities. This is where you have like a nerdy Asian girl and a half Mexican lady, and they just kind of look like, you know, stock photos of diversity people.
Yeah.
And they keep panning the camera to them. So maybe black and there's always a black pussy, like a fucking geek. A geekish weak black is just like, I'm here because the girls tell me I need to be.
Right, right.
Maybe that's what this hat's about, you know, making fun of a guy like that.
Do you think that's what it is, Shannon, or do you think this is the vagina of a black woman?
So here's the thing. They were actually on the SDR show, the whole band, and I happened to produce that episode.
Okay.
I can't remember what the answer was of how they came up with their name, but I have a highlight clip from SDR if you want
to
watch it.
Please, I would love to watch this right now, please. SDR show also on the Gas Digital Network, Ralph Sutton, Big J. Okerson. Great show. That show's killing it lately. That show has gotten fucking great. It's like a party every week in this studio, so check it out.
Shout out to Big J.
Here it is, SDR show.
Is there audio for this?
Did you hear it, guys? Do you ever do like a group thing with a girl? Would you ever do that? Like five?
Oh, it has to have happened.
Never happened.
No.
One says there's stories.
I've got no
Bring
audio,
the mic to him,
Lewis.
Please. There's one mic over there.
Sorry, Mike.
You have no stories.
Okay.
Hit the room.
Probably him and the drummer.
Is that why? Are you guys?
Oh yeah. That's what it
they
was.
They double teamed
that
abroad?
Would be my guess.
Yeah, it was the dirty ones.
Oh, yeah.
That's who did it.
Yeah, that's the move.
Are you guys, do you have boyfriends? They turn his mic on, Shannon?
They're girlfriends, you fucking piece of shit. Don't just call them gay out of the gates. Let them confess that to us.
Sorry, I was trying to be modernized.
Do you guys have boyfriends, you homos?
Well, we were actually hoping that maybe we would come out on the show.
On the show.
Great. All right, that's good, Shannon.
We would stop getting
gotta someone, listen to
you know,
fucking
psychedelic
sorry,
artist
no
world.
Say it.
No,
you
it's
know,
fine.
I thought some people would think it was tacky, but
because it's a play on Brown Sugar from the Stones, right? Is that where you originally came up with the idea?
No, it originally came from just my mind, an umbrella project. I'm just like, I thought it was 70s sounding. That's what I was looking for. And I thought it was Tarantino like if Tarantino was going to make a movie about a band, and it'd
that's
be
cool.
Black Pussy, five white guys.
Okay, so yeah, it is. It's Black Pussy. The idea is because you didn't hear that, and I do apologize, Mike. Which is going to also suck for this segment where Mike has to listen to the fucking music, Shannon.
It won't work. I could pull it up too. You could
send
me a link.
We'll pull it up.
Video.
We'll link it up at the same time so we can listen to it. We'll sync it up almost at the exact same time. You can just mute your mic during the song or whatever. But Shannon, what song are you going to play from them first of all, so he could set that up now?
Where the Eagle Flies.
Where the Eagle Flies, Black Pussy. So very sorry, Mike. Very unprofessional setup here at the Guest Digital Studios, and it's upsetting, to be honest with you. I don't know who to blame Shannon. I don't know who to blame Ralph.
There goes my Kickstarter.
It's not my fault. You're not getting donations now. We're going to donate to figure out how to fucking turn this into a show where Mike could hear the music.
Lewis, be nice to these people.
No, Mike. I can't do it. I refuse.
He's never nice to me.
Yeah, if I'm nice to her, then she thinks this is okay, Mike.
Yeah,
what
I know.
It's not okay. It's not okay. So, all right, listen, we're going to play this in just a second. But yeah, Mike, what they had said in the video was they thought it was very retro, like 70s sounding, Tarantino-esque. It was a great analogy or a great thing that he said was if Tarantino made a movie about a band, he would have called it Black Pussy.
Yeah.
So, cool. I like the origin story of the band's name. I met the guys here. I was in studio that night.
Is this some sort of paid sponsorship here that I'm wrapped up in now?
I know you don't do that, Mike. I wouldn't fucking rape you, and I wouldn't sponsor rape you.
I'm just teasing.
So this is Black Pussy. We're going to press play in three.
Wait. I don't have the video.
Oh, pull up the video.
Oh, I was supposed to?
Yeah, I told you the name of it.
Sorry, man. I just got high. It's the morning.
It's all good,
I'm just
baby. We got it.
I'm having fun.
And it's afternoon now for you, my friend.
Okay, tell me what to type.
What's the name of the band, Shannon? Or it's Black Pussy.
Where the Eagle Flies.
Where the Eagle Flies. And make sure there's no fucking ad on your end, Mike.
Of course.
Because we're gonna get this is good. Here's the thing, man. This is what the fans want to hear. They want to hear behind the scenes, real deal in real time shit.
Yeah, I'm going on YouTube, typing this stuff in. You guys can do this at home with your browser. So is this the video that has 3,767 views?
No, I have 32,596.
More pop. See, Mike tried to do a little backhanded fucking jab at them right there.
No. I'm trying to make sure we have the right videos so that I'm not watching some nonsense.
Of course.
Now, you know, I still can't find the same video that you're watching.
What is it called, Shannon?
Where the Eagle Flies.
Where the Eagle Flies.
What I searched was Black Pussy Band, and it was like the first or second that came up.
What count is it under?
I'm sorry?
What account
YouTube
is it under?
Account is it under? Or is it not YouTube?
No, it's on YouTube. EBK video.
I found it.
Okay. Boom.
All right. I am ready.
No advertisement, right? This is so exciting, guys. We're going to review.
Wait. I just thought of another problem.
What?
My audio is going to feed back in your thing. So
turn
this is
mic
what
off.
I'm going to do.
Turn
hold
your
on.
Mic off.
Got another solution right here. I'm going to send this link to my phone. And I'm going to watch it on my phone so that it doesn't interrupt with your show.
So we're going to fucking spend more time instead of just pressing a button.
This is bonus stuff. You're giving people, like links and all this stuff. Okay.
They really
do. Came up with this concept with this song. So,
Well, I thought we were going to be able to just have you hear it in your headphones. That's something we have to figure out. This is what we do at Gas Digital, that every time there's a problem, I tell Ralph and then he solves it every time. So this will not be an issue ever again.
Yeah.
So you get to be a part of our fucking growing pains, Mike David.
Yeah. No, I this stuff, see, this is what you need to realize, Lewis. This does not interrupt your show at all.
I agree with you. I think that this is more interesting than us fucking talking about stand-up comedy in a green room.
No, I don't think that, but you know what? If there's a little problem, it's better to just, hey, we got a problem. Who cares? You know, they don't care is what I'm saying. The listeners, they don't go, what the fuck, man? Get it together. This is unprofessional.
Well, that's why podcasting is better than radio, right? Yeah. And I do a radio show, but in radio, this would be like a fucking meltdown for the producers. They'd be running around with their heads, you know.
I'll love you. They don't care.
The podcasters go, oh, no, no, no. We're a part of something. We want to hear the shit behind the scenes. When I yell at Shannon, listen to me. Shannon, she's cried off mic before. No, people don't even see that. She's fucking weeping in the corner.
Really?
It gets my dick hard, literally. So they like that aspect of the show. I want them to know that, by the way. She cries sometimes.
They just want to see you, Lewis. Whatever you're going to be doing in this room, they're there for you.
That is true. Do you have it set up, Mike?
What's that?
You have it set up.
I've got it set up. I'm ready to go. I'm just going to mute my mic while we play it.
Okay, and we're going to go I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, and then on the downbeat of the zero, you would hit it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2. Now listen, are you ready? You have it there?
Yeah.
All right, good. 3, 2, 1, play. And of course, there's a fucking silent intro.
Silence.
Fucking assholes.
I actually knew this. Okay.
So, yeah, this is the last Firehouse.
Shannon, this is a live show. We should have done an official music video, Shannon.
We're really fucking stoked and really honored to be here.
I guess live is a good way to hear the bands anyway.
The Ancient Warlocks? Are you fucking serious? The Ancient Warlocks? You're fucking boys from the south. The fucking Ancient Warlocks? Yeah, they fucking rule.
Fast forward. Damn it. We can't even fast forward because Mike David would be off. Fuck! It's making me so angry right now. Can I hear this jerk off Tuna's guitar? Now, and here's the thing. People are seeing this, and I'm not supposed to yell at Shannon, right?
Lewis, pause.
Just pause.
Pause. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but we're not going to be synced up now.
As a, somebody who's been in this business for a long time. Sometimes you write things down in your notes, you know, a week ago, and you go, I'm going to do this on the show. And then sometimes you get to the show, and maybe it's not, you know, you're not really feeling it. It's okay to trash that note. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Throw it away.
That was horrific, Shannon. And I don't want to blame you for that, but I will say, you know, we could have used our heads and probably found an official music video or just a SoundCloud song. Something.
I feel like you know what I want to say right now.
Do you want to say? I know what you're going to say. Hold on. Here's what she's going to say, Mike. Ready?
Yeah.
She's going to go, well, you walked in 10 minutes before the show and then told me that this is a bit you wanted to do. Yeah. And then what I'm going to say in response
is
to that
I should be better and I should be able to do things in a second.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not a I didn't say, hey, Shannon, can you cut together a fucking 8-minute intro of best of Mike David's from his show so we could intro him with that? I said, pull up a fucking song. So
I found an official video.
Can we find an official video?
I have one.
Can Mike David get also linked up with that?
Yeah. So, Mike, it's also, I just searched Black Pussy Band. It's 1, 2, 3, fourth one down, for the sake of argument, official video.
For the sake of argument, official video.
Sure.
How many views does this have, Shannon?
22,463.
Okay, that's not bad. For a band, that's good.
For the sake of argument, how many? 22,000.
Yes.
Yes.
Official video.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Shannon, here's the thing. I don't want you to edit any of that out. I want it all in because I want the fans to be angry with you.
Fine. Let me know when you're ready.
Mike, you got it?
You know? Me?
This is Black Pussy, so it's showing up late as Black Pussy would.
Learn from this, Lewis. You know.
It's all a learning experience. This is life. This is actually an analogy for life.
It is. You know, sometimes these videos don't work and you just got to sit through it. That's the analogy. Okay. I've got it here. Sorry. I just smoked some weed and now I'm starting.
Oh shit. Tell me when you're ready. Cause we're going to fucking nail it this time.
Ready to go. You ready? The count of three.
Shannon, I'm going to be so upset if there's like a long movie intro to this right now.
I pray to God there's not.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go. Here it is. Black Pussy. What's the name of the song? For the sake of argument. right, drop it down a little bit, Shannon. Mike, you there? So, what do you think, Mike?
What do I think?
Yeah, what do you think?
It's awful. It's terrible. One of the worst songs I've heard this week. You like that?
I don't think it's bad. You know what it kind of reminds me of? I kind of like it. It reminds me of Helmet.
Of Alvin.
No, Helmet. You remember the band Helmet?
Yeah, they were also very horrible. That's atrocious music. Helmet? We were just making fun of those bands. What else do you like? With One Eye Open. What is that one?
I don't think it's bad.
That's Creed. Which is, what were we doing?
No, this reminds me of, there was like early 90s, Corrosion of Conformity, Helmet, that style of rock and roll where it was like almost metal, almost grunge. I like this. I actually legitimately like this. Do I like it enough to rock their merch? I'd have to hear like three more songs, but I would literally have to kill Shannon by the time we got through three more songs by linking them up, so we can't do that.
Yeah. Did you like POD, I Feel So Alive?
I mean, at the time, I kind of did, like, but I didn't admit that I like POD. Like, Papa Roach, POD, Linkin Park, they all had one or two dope songs. That
whole scene is what I despise.
Yeah, I agree. It's awful now. I did Shiprock a few years in a row.
I hated it then. A darkness, a creepiness, a fellowship of gross.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I was a metal guy. Were you a metal guy when you were younger?
No. See, I never got into the metal thing.
What kind of music did you like?
When I was a kid, it was, of course, I got started with, you know what actually got me into mainstream music? What? Weird Al Yankovic.
Really?
I think that was, as a very young person, got me into mainstream music.
You were a nerd when you were a kid? Is that what it is?
No, I'm talking about like a 5-6-year-old kid.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I was 17 and I didn't know much about music. I turned to Weird Al. No. I'm talking. Yeah, I'm going to take that Weird Al part of my history out of there because that confuses people.
Yeah, well, I'm saying when you were 16, when you started fucking and finger banging chicks, okay, what type of music were you doing that to?
The first kind of music that I really got into, you know, of course, like Nirvana, I think, and all that, right?
Yeah. Okay. So that was like you were
the same time. So, and then it led into, I think, when Green Day came out is when I got off the alternative and went to punk music, punk rock.
Yeah. Yeah, I was never really a punk rock guy, but I was a big metal guy, so I got into that shit. Shannon, in fact, let's get some plugs out of the way, and I would like to hear some Helmet, because I really do enjoy Helmet.
Helmet, no POD, Let It Be Dead.
Helmet wasn't in the same vein as those guys, because POD and those guys were like new metal around the turn of the century. Helmet and Corrosion of Conformity and bands like that were right around the Nirvana time, but they never got big. They were kind of like they were heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, that song that I just heard by Black Pussy reminded me
Matt Finfield would always play those groups.
Yes, he would. 120 Minutes, Alternative Nation.
Hey, everybody. Now let's listen to some metal here.
Dude, I was at SiriusXM and he came up to me and he was obliterated. Just obliterated. Pinfield and just started talking to me about his life. It was so bizarre. It was just one night, like late at night after a show.
It's a psychotic guy.
Yeah. Play Helmet Unsung and we'll get some plugs out of the way before we do our questions to end the show. This song reminded me of what Black Pussy was throwing down. You can't hear it, actually, Mike. I apologize. Mike, do you have anything to plug? Obviously, Red Bar Radio, redbarradio.net. Great show, great website. Love the layout of the website. Go to compoundmedia.com as well. Love those guys over at Compound Media. Did Gavin's show yesterday. Got into a heated debate with Gavin and some other dude. I thought I was the fucking guest. People are tweeting at me, going like, oh, why are you interrupting the guest? I was like, no. Fuckface, he interrupted me. I don't know who the fuck that guy was. So,
who are you talking to?
I'm talking to everybody. The fans, you, everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mike David, what else to plug? Obviously the show. What else? Anything else that you wanted to plug?
Sorry, you're breaking up really bad over there.
Turn it down a little bit, Shannon. I think because we have multiple things coming through with the bandwidth.
Yes, yeah. If you have, yeah, I think the music cuts you off.
Turn the music off, Shannon. Fuck it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, Mike. What
there you go. Now you're back. See, yeah. So when you're playing music, the Skype call drops out because it's like competing.
Yeah. What do you have to plug? Obviously, the show, Red Bar Radio.
Okay, what we're going to do. I don't want to plug my show.
I don't want to plug, you know, my Twitter. I want to plug you a promise. Okay. Any person that you are suspect of in this world, this universe here, you know, Legion of Skanks, Red Bar, Kumia, I kind of feel like we all share kind of a universe. We all know the same types of people, and we kind of, you know, you probably think that that's, you know, the whole world, but it really is. This is kind of our bubble that we're in over here. Now, I promise you this. When you're watching these shows and Lewis has these people on, Mike Fenoya, Patrick Melton, all these people, and you're sitting there at home going, how could anyone like these people? Why is Lewis being nice to them? Come over to Red Bar. We'll show you how, you know, we know exactly what you're thinking. We know exactly what's on your mind. And, you know, Patrick Melton, this guy, this comic from Nobody Likes Onions, was on Legion of Skanks. Everybody hated him in Reddit. We have destroyed this guy's career. We've deleted his show. That's what we do over at Red Bar. We don't let these people get away with their silly nonsense. So right. Come over to Red Bar, and we'll show you. We got a big investigation on Big J Okerson coming up to see if he's legit. So I know a lot of people have questions about, is this guy for real? We're going to find out. Come over to Red Bar. Thank you so much.
Red Bar, very entertaining. I would love for you to stick around for the questions portion of the show if you do have the time. Yeah, yeah. We always get fan questions.
I'd be honored.
Great. So let's go to the question segment of the day.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 Give me a fucking answer.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
You guys know what time it is. Questions of the day. Oh, shit. I didn't plug my shit. I forgot to. That's how engaging Mike David is. He just fucking... What? I forgot to plug my shit while you plugged your shit. Real quick, GomezComedy.com, GomezComedy on Instagram. December 9th and 10th, headlining Comedy Connection, Providence, Rhode Island. January 14th, we're back at the Hustler Club in Detroit. Myself, Dave Smith, and also special guest Joe List this time. So if you guys are in the Detroit area, come out to the Hustler Club. That is going to be a fucking killer. We had a blast last time with Dan Soder, and they invited us back, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So blah, 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 blah. That's it. Roastmasters, obviously, every other week, every other Tuesday. You can watch it on Gas Digital, but come check it out if you're in New York City. It's free, thestandnyc.com. I host that bitch. Anyway, these are the questions. Morning of the show, we always post it on Facebook, so go to facebook.com/LewisJGomezComedy. Write your question in the morning of the show. Always try to get to the best ones. Great question by Ryan McCoy, Mike. He wants to know, would you rather never have sex again or live the rest of your life with the herps?
Never have sex again.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Why?
You would rather never fuck again than have herpes. The whole reason that herpes sucks is because you can't fuck, or it's difficult to fuck.
You know what? To be honest, I find more pleasure just laying naked with a girl and jacking off and getting it over with there.
Really?
No, not actually getting it over with. I like to go for 6 hours just jacking off.
You want to have a kid?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess you have to jerk off into a cup, artificial insemination.
Nope.
How would you get her pregnant then if you can't fuck anymore?
Just have her open it up, jerk off into the
hole,
shove it in with your fingers or something,
or get like a turkey baster and jerk off into the turkey baster. Women do that apparently. There was like a rumor.
A lot of things to get the cum inside of them.
Yeah, jerk off into a condom. That was
I haven't thought that out. That's a tough question. I would say Ryan McCoy was it. I'd have to give that some thought, but I'll get back to you. I'll email you in a few months.
All right, let's go. Fernando Moreno wants to know, Real Ass Diet is working great for me. And Mike, you're a very fit guy, Mike. He wants to know, any workout tips?
Yes. Well, what kind of workout? Is he trying to build muscle here?
Here's the thing. People don't get it. They go, like, the human body is extraordinarily malleable. You can literally look at a person, right? Whether it's a bodybuilder or, you know, an athlete, a swimmer, celebrity, you can say, I want to have that type of body. And within reason, you can get that type of body.
Yeah, I believe that too.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the way it is. So that's a very good...
I would say
free weights, body weight exercises. Skip the cardio for now. I would say no machines. And I would say follow a very simple program. You could get your workout done in 30 minutes, no problem. Especially chest day. 30 minutes. And you're, I would keep in the 6 to 8 rep, window right there. And then give it a day or two to heal. And then do back. And then I like to do a chest, back, and then a leg and a shoulder day.
Well, here's the thing, right? And this is the thing about working out, because I'm self-taught for the most part. Go onto literally any website, right? Type in beginner strength program.
Yeah, right? Those are perfect.
They're going to give you something super simple.
Oh, no, I have a better tip. Fuck all that. Here's the best tip. If you're just starting working out, start with just push-ups. Don't even fuck with anything else. And if you can't commit to push-ups for a month, forget working out. Because what people do is they go, I want to work out. They either buy weights or they join a gym. Try a month of just push-ups, okay? Try doing, start and do as many as you could do. And then wait a day. And then when it heals, do as many as you can do the next time.
Yeah, I would say every other day. For push-ups, it's fine. It's body weight. So every other day, I would do till just one set in the morning till fail. And if you could follow that for a full month, that's great advice.
Then move on to the next weights. Yeah. And you'll know when you outgrow it because you won't need that day to heal anymore. You'll know when you outgrow it because it's not doing anything anymore.
Yeah, the second time you do your push-ups, it's going to kill you. The second day. After the first day, on that third day, that's literally the worst day. But I think you're fine. I mean, typically, you can get more technical there. Like if you look at it really
after a month, if you can't do 50 at a time, you know, with breaks in between, you know, that's what you should be at after about a month. I would say you want to be able to do 50 push-ups, even if it's 5 sets of 10.
Yeah.
Right. And if you can't do that, then don't even look at the gym until you could get there.
What I would do, and this is kind of what I did, I actually kind of started off that way. I was fat, and I said, I'm going to do pull-ups. I'd never done a pull-up in my entire life. And I was just like outside of these comedy clubs. I was promoting shows, and there was scaffolding all over New York City. So I'd get to the club early. I was running these street teams, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to just start doing pull-ups every day and see how many I could do. And day one, I couldn't do any. Day two, I couldn't do any. Day three, I started to be able to like lift myself halfway up. And I was like, whoa, holy shit. And then I just kept on doing it. And after a few weeks, I was doing like 12, 13 pull-ups. Oh. It was literally that quick I was able to.
I still can't do that much.
Yeah, I mean, but I was just training myself every day to do it over and over again. It was probably, within about a month, I'd say, I was doing over 10 pull-ups every single time. And I was like, I think I could work out. And then I went to my buddy Justin, and he gave me a super simple, like, fucking 3-day split, like, really simple, as basic as you could be, that you would find on any bodybuilding website, a really simple thing. And then from there, I started to learn about working out. And what will happen is you'll see changes in your body, and you'll see yourself getting in shape. And it's very quick in the beginning because you're not used to lifting weights. So you'll do very simple shit that'll make a lot of difference. And you'll get excited and you'll get motivated to add to it and to figure out the science behind it. We don't need to bore you with all the bullshit. Like, I know a lot about exercise science. I've worked in the fitness industry before. The basics are there, and you will learn. You will sell, because you're going to watch your body change. You're going to be so excited. You will self-teach yourself. So those are some good tips in the beginning. Real quick, let's get a couple more questions in before we get out of here. All right, right here. Philip McCann, are there any books/articles/literature you would recommend regarding peaceful parenting or whatever it's called? You don't spank your kids. Thanks. I don't know if you know this about me, Mike, but I'm a big proponent of peaceful parenting. I've never even smacked my kid on the hand. You know, I think it does a lot of damage. I think we're beating especially in the minority communities, blacks and Hispanics, we fuck our kids up. And I think that's why they're very violent.
Yeah.
It's beaten into them from a very young age that's how you solve a problem.
Hit when you're mad.
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody's talking about it. It's very few people that are bringing this aspect up. It
sounds like, you know what people would say? Here's what Gavin would say probably. No, hit your kids. You should hit your kids. When I was a kid and I did something wrong, my dad would hit me with a bat. I think that sounds manlier, but if you really care about the human race.
That was a great Gavin, by the way.
Thanks. If you really care about the human race, you got to, of course, because what your kids are seeing is you're mad, you're hitting. So when you get mad and frustrated, you hit.
Yes.
And what you got to learn is you should never be so mad that you want to hit. So I've been there. Well, you know, it took me a very long time, you know, up until like 27. If I got really, really mad, I did go into hit mode with people.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I was really, really pushed. Now, I can't imagine somebody getting me mad enough to want to physically do anything. I can't imagine what you would have to do to get me that mad.
Hit you, know you what I mean? Attack your chick.
Yes, of course. But yeah. I'm saying, you know, I think with parenting, these kids are getting hit for stuff that shouldn't really make somebody that mad. But I get it. I mean, I have a dog who doesn't listen, and sometimes you just want to break its legs.
And they say you can't do that either. That's crazy. It's a dog. You could hit him.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a great video that Dave Smith showed me, and I had just practiced peaceful parenting, but there's a lot of science behind it, and there's a lot of studies that have been done. There was a big study that just came out, but there was one video that I watched that really breaks it down in a very logical standpoint, and it's called An Introduction to Peaceful Parenting. It is by Stefan Molyneux. That's Molyneux, and he's a big libertarian guy, and he has some really interesting takes on the world. And he has another video that was great on George Zimmerman and that case and what happened there, and he really breaks down the facts in a very logical standpoint. So this guy gets a lot of hate from people, but he's just honestly a very intelligent dude. I don't agree with everything he says, but the Introduction to Peaceful Parenting video, I watched it in its entirety. And I think if it's something that you're interested in or you're thinking about having kids, I think you should look at this. And you should just do a simple Google search on peaceful parenting. I mean, there's been a lot of studies. I mean, I could link them for you, but I mean, you could fucking just as easily type it into Google. So, I agree completely. And look, I think in the future, you know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, we're going to look at hitting kids the same way we looked at hitting our wife in the 30s, where it was like, you gotta smack her around sometime if she's not acting right.
Although hitting the wife needs to come back. That
sometimes, you know, I almost feel like I want women to like learn MMA or become more physically ready, and we should just take the gloves off and we should be able to settle all of our altercations with beating the shit out of each other.
And I want to make something clear. I don't want to hit my wife. Yeah. I'm just saying there's a lot of wives out there that I would like to see beaten.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know, a lot of women out there that I'd like to see hurt.
All right, let's see. One last question. All right, this is silly. Let's see. We got a lot of people. A lot of people. Let me see. I think I have one that's specifically for you.
Oh, dear.
Mike, I want to get that, if we could find that. Maybe he deleted it. Something about Fenoya was in here.
Fenoya?
It was something about Fenoya.
AMA?
You don't fucking really hate Fenoya, do you?
At all. Not at all. I just don't think he should be a guy hosting a show. That's it.
Well, you took a spot now, right?
Hey, most of these people that I make fun of, I don't hate as people. I understand. But I'm not, discussing them as people, you know.
Cameron McNair, and this was the one that I saw, but it's actually for me. Would Big J be comfortable having Fenoya and Mike from Red Bar on LOS? Will you get Mike from Red Bar on RAP? Ooh. If not, so he didn't even know you were on the show today, which is hilarious.
Who didn't know?
This guy didn't know you were going to be on the show, and he asked the question about getting you on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to sit in a room with Mike Fenoya, and you know what? I'd even let it go like this. If Mike Fenoya could beat me in arm wrestling, I'll let him, I'll go away. I'll quit. I'll quit Red Bar. I'll delete all the apps that I've done too. That's the challenge, buddy. You won't quit either.
Oh, shit. All right, last question right here. Let's get it going. Final question. I love this question. Do you think you could take, this is for both of us, an enraged chimpanzee, no weapons, you're both locked in an octagon? A chimpanzee.
No, I would never fight with an animal. I would figure out a way for it to understand that I'm here to help. And I would encourage this animal to work with me, like I did my dog.
That's very diplomatic. Yeah, no, I think chimpanzee, and maybe I'm wrong about this. Shannon, pull up a video of a chimpanzee attack, because I feel like, by the way, does Mike see what we see on the screen or no?
Yeah, I do.
But we just give him no sound.
No sound.
By the way, this is literally just the fucking click of a button on one of our computers. to solve this problem. Guaranteed. It's just some setting.
I would say fire all the people who work there and find new guys tomorrow.
So is this a chimpanzee attack on a human being? There has to be. It doesn't exist.
Hold on one sec, because I'm just seeing like the after effects of people's mangled faces.
Oh, Shannon's pulling up videos from a Black Lives Matter rally. You're racist, Shannon. That is fucking ridiculous.
This guy asked this. Does this guy think people could take on chimps? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I think he's crazy. I think chimpanzees are vicious animals, no?
Why would you want to get? That's like asking who would win, a man versus a giant alligator.
I mean, they are small. I think an alligator kills a chimp 10 out of 10 times. So that's, you know, it's a little bit of a different thing. Obviously, an alligator wins in a fight. Chimp, I think you look at it, you're like, I could just kick it across the room, but I think it would tear your fucking face off.
All right, I'm going to give this one a shot without the volume. Whoops.
Give it a shot. Let's see. This is graphic nature. Good.
Graphic
nature. Hold on, sorry.
This is graphic nature, Shannon. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, he will fuck you up. You're not beating a chimp.
Yeah, this would be like if Brad Williams came at you. You wouldn't be able to do anything. Comic Funny Brad or something on Twitter. Find him. Harass him.
Fucking shit. Dude, that's crazy, dude. I love the Planet of the Apes movies. Look at this fucking chimp going crazy on this dude.
Looks like CGI, that guy.
Yeah, dude. No. He's fucking him up, dude. You got to run. You got to fucking.
Yeah, you don't want to get involved with that. What kind of question is this?
Yeah, no, I don't think I could take a chimp. You ever watch the new Planet of the Apes movies? Are they not the best movies coming out?
Me? Are you serious?
Yeah, you don't like them?
When was the last one that came out? That was years ago.
Yeah, but there's another one. Shannon, when's the next Planet of the Apes movie coming out? Let me know, because people should see these movies. I would love a sponsorship with Planet of the Apes, because I can talk about that movie for days, and that's a sponsor I could really get behind. So if you guys know anybody that works for the franchise, please have them reach out to me.
New Planet of the Apes is actually going to be all women. Oh, it's God. All Leslie Jones.
I knew you were going there. Whoopi Goldberg, whoever else. You can't name more black women because you're just.
Bill Burr's wife and Leslie Jones, the new Planet of the Apes.
Come on, dude.
You had to say something about
it. Bill Burr's wife is a sweetheart. I've met her multiple times. Really? Go ahead, Shannon.
So I found out first footage of the, it doesn't say what month, but 2017, War for the Planet of the Apes. I have a trailer if you want to.
Oh, let me see a trailer. Shut up. Is it a trailer?
Well, 37 seconds.
Let me say, this is fucking.
Hi, I'm Matt Reeves, and we're on the set of War for the Planet of the Apes. And this is the very talented Andy Serkis, who you probably know as Caesar. We're incredibly excited for this film and this very special announcement.
We're giving one lucky fan the chance to become an ape in Caesar's greatest battle. Simply submit a video of your most lifelike ape imitation at apescontest.com. And we'll pick one winner.
Do you think this is not happening?
Capture suit and be in a scene.
Shannon, when do I need to submit this by?
I'll find out for you.
When do I need to submit this by? Okay, Mike, you didn't listen to this, dude. They're doing a contest where they're going to pick one person to be an ape in the movie, and they got to submit a fucking video of them doing an ape.
Have to all try to get somebody to win, some black person to win as a joke. Like, how do we all get, like, imagine if Les Jones actually was picked? And they're like, we don't know how to say this with a straight face, but Leslie Jones? And they have to read it like on TV. Figure out how to do that. I will change the course of my career to make sure that happens.
Fuck me. Oh, I'm
lucky, but how funny would that be?
That would be hilarious. Shannon, we don't have a date on that yet, or we'll figure it out later?
It's July 2017.
Oh, my God. I'm doing that. I swear to God I'm doing this. There's no doubt about it.
Ape.
I would love to be an ape. I love these movies.
You do.
I love them. So, Mike, look, buddy, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. I only do these exclusives once in a blue, so if you guys liked it, please let me know. Check out the Red Bar Radio Show. Mike's fucking extremely talented, as you guys saw here today. He's a funny motherfucker, and you keep it real, dude. You burn bridges. You don't just burn bridges. You fucking strap dynamite to them and then fucking... give the middle finger as you light the match. So
let's say, Lewis, a lot of these bridges lead to places I'm not interested in going.
That's funny. Mike, thanks so much, dude. Guys, if you're listening, we really appreciate it. Go to iTunes right now. Give us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Let your friends know about the show. Throw it on in the car. If you're hanging out with some buddies on a road trip, throw the show on in a car. You know, and also leave us the fucking reviews. We have so many people that listen to this show. I look at the numbers every single week, and our iTunes is fucking desolate, basically. So go to our iTunes, leave us a review, all that good stuff. We'll check you next week. Realize Podcast. Peace.
Love you.
That's all, folks.